Today on The Journey.
Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. See, I've got something to give you that transcends all the futile, empty promises of the world. Get real peace.
Chaos, fear, and conflict seem to rule the headlines and our daily lives. But that's not new. It was the experience of Israel just before our calendars changed forever. Then peace dawned, not in the political or social systems, but in a lowly Bethlehem manger. In this half hour, Ron Moore looks to the humble prince born that day, who, some 30 years after his birth, would bring real and lasting peace to the hearts of all who believe. Listen and learn how you can share that peace in a chaotic world. We'll get to that after a brief word about Ron's devotional titled, Journey Through the Gospels. In these daily reflections, you'll discover truths about Jesus you may have never seen before. Journey Through the Gospels is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Real Peace, on the Journey.
For a lot of people, Christmas is not a lot of fun. It's not about family. It's not about football. It's not about the shopping. For a lot of people, Christmas is just flat chaotic. It's hectic, it's frenzied. And for a lot of people, Christmas is not just a season of the year, but it is a snapshot of their whole year. Their hearts are frenzied and chaotic. For other people, Christmas is a sad time, a feeling of loneliness and despair, remembering loss. Someone should be here this year, and they're not. The human heart is a fertile soil for restlessness and confusion and hopelessness until we find the one who can give us peace. Today, let's zero in on peace. And I'd like for us to do three things. Let's determine, how do you find it? Don't you want the chaos to be gone? Don't you want calmness to be there? How do you find it? Number two, how do you cultivate it? How do you grow it? And then number three, how do you share peace into the lives of those in your family and your network of people? So take your Bibles and open them to Luke chapter 2. I want to introduce you to a man. His name is Simeon. And Simeon is a man of peace. We're going to look at him in more detail, but I want to set the context first. If you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 22, again, Luke is writing to a Greek audience, not a Jewish audience. And so he likes to explain things as he goes along to his Greek readers who wouldn't be familiar with the Old Testament. And so Luke is writing in chapter 2. Let me read 22, 23, 24, and then we'll work through those. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they, this is Mary and Joseph, brought him, that's Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. They came to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. So we know when we look at Luke chapter 2, verse 22, that Jesus is 40 days old. According to the law, on day 40, a woman who had given birth to a son, if it was a girl, day 80, to a son, day 40, would go to the temple for the rites of purification. And other things would happen there as well. If it was a firstborn son, as Jesus was, there would also be a sacrifice given according to Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. It was called the redemption of the firstborn. You would present the firstborn as holy unto the Lord. The sacrifice you were supposed to bring was a lamb. A lamb that day cost about 5 shekels. It wasn't much, but if you were really poor, you couldn't afford 5 shekels. And so God said, I don't want anyone not to come to sacrifice because of their economic state. And so he allowed for the most inexpensive sacrifice you could bring, and that would either be a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so Mary and Joseph came that day with Jesus, 40 days old, and they offered either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons because they were poor. So just think about it. Here, Mary and Joseph come dressed as poor people dress, living as poor people live. And they bring the most inexpensive sacrifice to dedicate their son, who is also the Son of God. The other thing that stands out to me in those first three verses of this section, they did everything according to the law, didn't they? The law of Moses and then the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is repeated three times in this section. Everything according to the law. When God sent his son, he didn't give Jesus any shortcuts. God made sure his son played by the rules. So when they got to the temple that day, day 40, they met a man named Simeon. Verse 25 describes Simeon. He was a righteous man. He was devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Man, these are four characteristics that we need to talk about. Pretty significant. First, Simeon was a righteous man. If you trace back the word righteousness to the Old Testament, we first see that God is righteous. And this cool word, because it was taken from a Mesopotamian river reed. They would pull this river reed out of the bed of the river, and they would use this river reed for a construction tool. It was basically a leveler. They made sure their foundation was level. They made sure the walls were level. And the leveler was the straight edge. It was the standard by which you measured everything. And so God says, I'm going to use that to describe myself. I am the river reed. I am righteous. I am the straight edge. I am the standard of everything. And God says, when you trust in me, you are made righteous. That's a position. We're made righteous. No one can ever change that. But there's also a practice of righteousness. When someone is described as righteous, we can't see this invisible position that we have, but we know they are righteous by their deeds. And so Simeon, his actions demonstrated righteousness. He wasn't perfect. He needed a savior like everyone else, but his words, his actions were upright. They were measured against the standard. And again, he failed. He sinned like all of us, but if you graphed his life, you would see more upticks than downticks. You would see a pattern of doing what's right before God. Luke also says he was devout. I love this word devout because it simply means he was all in. Literally, the word means taking hold well. It describes a person who takes their walk with God seriously. That person will not just show up on Christmas Eve and Easter. That person walks with God. They love God. It characterizes their life. They are all in. We like to say a person who follows hard after God. That would be a good description of the word devout. Also, we see that Simeon is described as the Holy Spirit is on him. You say, well, what's the big deal there? All of us as believers have the Holy Spirit in us, right? When we trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit right then and there comes and lives inside of us. And that's true. But remember, this is before Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and the Holy Spirit came in Acts. During this time in the Old Testament, so we're still kind of living in the Old Testament period when we're looking at Simeon. During that time, the Holy Spirit could come at certain times on certain people for certain reasons to do certain events. For instance, Gideon. Go back and look at Gideon in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit came on him and gave him victory in battle. Look at Samson in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit came on him. Remember, he was in the temple and allowed him to knock down the pillars, killing the enemies of God. Look at Saul, the first king of Israel. He had the Holy Spirit on him for a while, but then the Holy Spirit left. That's why David in Psalm 51 prayed, Lord, don't take your spirit from me. I saw what that did to Saul. But here, the tense of the verb, remained on him, is in the tense that means stayed on him. And so God chose this man, Simeon, and sent his Holy Spirit on Simeon for a special assignment. The other thing that we see about Simeon is he was waiting. You ever been waiting on something? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, or another word would be the comfort of Israel. Now, to understand what he was waiting on, we have to see what the context or the history was at that time when Jesus came. Caesar Augustus ruled the world. Now, Caesar Augustus was a crazy man, but he did some good things. First, he built roads throughout the Roman Empire, these amazing roads that connected the empire together, which allowed for trade and travel. He also wanted to keep the people happy, and so he built these huge colosseums where people could go and be entertained. He brought circuses into town. He built huge buildings. He did a lot of good stuff. And the thing that Caesar did that you would most appreciate was this thing called Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Finally, the world was at peace as Caesar Augustus ruled. So he was a crazy guy, but at least there was peace. Except if you lived in that little sliver of land called Palestine, the Jews didn't serve Caesar Augustus. The one thing you had to do with Caesar is bow down before him as God. The Jews said, we don't do that here. We serve Yahweh. And we don't go by Roman customs and Roman laws. We go by the law of God. God's law always trumps the laws of culture. And we won't bow down before any gods, and we don't like the entertainment, and we don't like the immorality. And so the people didn't like the Jews, and the Jews really didn't like the people either. And there was a lot of persecution that went on. The Jews were killed. They were oppressed. They were taxed into poverty. There was this thing called the abomination of desolation, where a guy named Antiochus came and slaughtered a pig in the temple. And you just don't do that. And the Jews rebelled under a guy named Judas Maccabee. And he said, we're taking back the temple. Enough is enough. And so Judas got an army and they took back the temple. And the day they took back the temple, the day they had that victory, they reconsecrated it, they dedicated it, and that consecration or dedication, the Jews still celebrate today. What do they celebrate? Hanukkah, the celebration of lights or celebration of consecration. And they kept their independence for 100 years. And then in 67 BC, Rome said, enough of that. And from 67 BC to 37 BC, in those 30 years, the Roman army rolled in and they decimated Israel. They crushed the rebellion. One commentator says, in those 30 years, no fewer than 150,000 Jews died at the hands of the Romans. During that time, Rome set up a puppet king named Herod. You remember him? And there was so much killing going on. The Romans were coming in and killing all the men and women and children. Herod is said to have said, would the Romans deprive the city of all its inhabitants and possessions and leave me king of the wilderness? Like nothing's going to be here when you get done. So when we come to Luke chapter 2, the Jews are living in oppression and political unrest and poverty and chaos and fear. They also live with the promise. Back in Isaiah, the prophet said, God's going to send someone to deliver you from all that. God's going to send someone to bring comfort, consolation. God's going to send someone to bring peace. God's going to send someone to proclaim liberty to the captives, Isaiah 61, and open prison to those who are bound. And that's what Simeon was waiting for. He was waiting for the prophecy of Isaiah to come true. He was waiting for the comfort of Israel or the consolation of Israel. And here's the cool thing. Look at verse 26. God revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he saw the consolation, the prophecy of Isaiah come true. Look at verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I love the way Luke describes Jesus, the Lord's Christ. Christ in Greek, Messiah in Hebrew. The word means anointed one, the comforter, the one who's going to bring peace. Now, most people in Simeon's day thought that the one who brought peace would be a conqueror, would ride in, and just like Judas Maccabee, would deliver Israel and establish the kingdom like they had back in the days of David. But Simeon knew that this Lord's Christ was not going to bring a national independence. He was going to bring freedom into the heart. So the Spirit tells him, go to the temple, led by the Spirit. In verse 27, he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law. Think about this. Simeon, this old man, this prophet, this righteous, devout man, Holy Spirit on him, waiting for the consolation of Israel, walks up to this poor couple. And by God's guiding, he takes Jesus into his arms. 28. And he blessed God and said, look at verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, according to those prophecies in Isaiah. For my eyes have seen your salvation. And here's where we get it, that Simeon understands it's not a conquering Messiah. It's a Messiah who's going to come for spiritual reasons, because look what he says. My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence, not just for Israel, but for all peoples. He's going to be for everyone. He's going to be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. The Gentiles, not just the Jews, are now going to understand how they can have peace. And he's going to be for the glory of your people, Israel. It's going to be for them as well. But then look what he does. As Joseph and Mary marveled at this, we see in verse 33, Simeon, who you can just imagine is praying to God, now looks them straight in the eye. Verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. For a sign that is opposed, skip the parentheses, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. He's saying your son's going to be at the dividing line. Your son is going to be the one who, depending on a person's response to him, will cause destruction, fall, eternity from God, or the rising, the word resurrection, of many, those who trust in him. And at the end of the day, Simeon says, he is going to be the one who reveals the hearts of man. Depending on how a person responds to Jesus, their heart is revealed. It's not going to be without an awful cost. In those parentheses, Simeon says, and Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. And when we read that, we only think of Mary at the cross, right? As she watches Jesus beaten and bloodied beyond recognition, die for our sins on the cross. Jesus is the one who finally brings peace. Let's think of three aspects of peace. First of all, peace begins with God. Only through Jesus. And so I'll ask you this question. Have you trusted in Jesus alone as the only one who can bring peace into your heart? Our separation from God, our sin, causes us to be restless. It causes the chaos. It causes the unsettledness. It causes the searching. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God only through Jesus Christ. And even as believers, we struggle with that sometimes. We have the position of peace, but we struggle with peace in our life. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. It's not the peace of the world. It's not that promise of peace that's just futile. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. See, I've got something to give you that transcends all the futile, empty promises of the world. Get real peace. So do you have that peace with God through Jesus? Have you trusted in Jesus alone as the only way to have that peace? That's question number one. The second thing we'd like to talk about with peace is, how do you cultivate it? How do you grow it? Even as a believer, right, we have peace with God, but we admit it. We still live some pretty hectic, chaotic lives. We can still be pretty restless. So how do we cultivate that peace? How do we grow that peace? Well, I'm going to give you a way to do it. It's pretty simple. You've heard it before, but it's very profound. In God's Word every day. That's it. Meeting with God every day through His Word. It's that simple. Hearing what He has to say and allowing Him to give us the peace that we need. Because I promise you, if you are in His Word, He will meet you where you are every day. And He'll give you what you need to push the chaos and restlessness away. You cannot have God's peace unless you have the foundation of peace, and that's reading God's Word. Okay, one more thing. Peace starts with God. That's it. Through Jesus. You got to cultivate that peace. We live in community with other people, right? And so sometimes that's really hard. Because sometimes there are people in our lives who really are hard to be with. And they cause restlessness. And they cause anxiety. And certain situations, whether school or work or home or whatever, cause this confusion in our hearts. Are you a person who sows peace? Are you a person who sows chaos? If you're a person who sows chaos, it means this. You're a person who dabbles back into the sin of the old life. When we're a believer, we're a new creation. Not perfect, but we're a new creation. And we leave the past behind. But when we dabble in things like anger and bitterness and all those things in our past, the old man, the old person, we get our hands dirty. And we bring those dirty, sinful, infected hands into relationships. And we sow chaos. Anytime we are bringing sinful hands into a relationship, sinful heart, we're sowing chaos, not peace. The good news is we don't have to. We're going to sin. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? Cleanse us, hands and heart, from all unrighteousness.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Would you like to sense the anticipation of the people as Jesus stood up to preach? Would you like to feel the joy and wonder as the scales fell from the eyes of the man born blind? Would you like to see Jesus for the first time all over again? Well, that can be your everyday experience with Ron Moore's devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 insightful meditations, Ron takes you on a challenging journey through the life of Christ. Along the way, Jesus will touch your soul and spirit with life-changing truths and tender affection. Journey Through the Gospels is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
She said, I don't know all the answers, but how can they argue with the love of God demonstrated in Jesus and then demonstrated through those who love Him? How can you argue with a transformed life?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please visit our website to order your copy of Journey Through the Gospels. This daily devotional will enrich your walk with the Savior and increase your understanding of His life and ministry. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.